information from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cave. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing K. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing K. What a way to make a day. Sharing K is on the way.
Hello, this is Congressman Jim Cooper. When I want to know what the 411 is, I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Oh, you're so good. Hello, Nashville, all of the lovely people. You're just everywhere. I know you all are out and about. And are you masking up? Don't be scared to put them things on and show your sexy eyes. Y'all need to quit playing. Hey, let's get this thing over with, honey. Mask up, and quit acting silly. Come on, Silly Billy, quit it. We want to get this thing over with. Can't do it if you don't mask up. And I'm teaching my ex, don't you do a lot of 6 feet conversations?
Quite a few.
Yeah. You know, you just put an extra step back, you know. But anyway, we're so happy to have you in the atmosphere this afternoon, this Wednesday afternoon. We'll have our Commander Chuck traffic update, and Ron will be back at the top of the next hour to update the news for us. And, of course, Global Family, always happy to have you listening at WFSKFM.org. I want to say hey to our friends in North Carolina and also our listeners who love us and we love them in the state of Georgia. Thank you so very much for listening to WFSK and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. We have a lot, as usual, on the Wednesday commute to get you home safe and sound. We have some news straight and directly from the community, as well as I'm going to chat up here soon with Congressman Jim Cooper, and he will give us a congressional update. They've been quite busy. And during the 5 o'clock hour, the book for today is by co-authored by Dr. Tiffany Janna, and it is coming up during the 5 o'clock. Brian Todd is with me, and Brian, aren't you the public information officer? Isn't that your correct title?
That's the correct title for the Metro Public Health Department.
Yes. And you have been, I can't even say busy to you, because you're like, Sharon, you know it, girl. You know it. You guys have really been putting forth a 24/7 effort in the battle against the coronavirus, and we just appreciate so much all the work that you all have done, all of you, with your updates and, you know, the constant testing and various things that you all have been doing there. We just really, really appreciate you. And but that was not why I asked you to call today, because I wanted to find out about, you have another mask giveaway to the community, and it's coming soon. Give us the date and the time and what folks need to do and all that.
I'll be glad to, and thank you so much for allowing me to come on and share this information, because it is important. Mm-hmm. Because we want people to wear a mask.
Yes.
We're going to make it easier for you by offering these masks. These are the cloth masks, and they are free. So we are once again offering these. We're doing it a little bit different than we were doing it a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Where we were at different community centers, different Metro Parks community centers. We're going to offer it Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll be at the Lentz Public Health Center, and it's a drive-through, mm-hmm. so you don't have to come into the building.
Oh, good.
There's signage that'll take you right through the parking lot, and there are folks there that are gladly handing out these free cloth masks.
Okay, I know people have got to be glad to you know, be able to get them without having to spend any money because, you know, there is no charge. Now, when they come, Brian, how many, is there a limit? And does it depend on the size of the family? How are you doing that?
Well, we ask people that, you know, let us know if you have family members at home that can't be there. But what we typically have been doing is, mm-hmm. is two per person. Hmm. So if you have, for instance, four people in the car, then you'll get eight masks. Hmm. But we try to work with folks. And then, of course, we're happy to partner with the different community partners in the different areas of mm-hmm. Nashville. That if we can get them a supply of the mask that they would be handing out at maybe special events that they're hosting, yeah. we'll do that too.
Oh, excellent. Well, hopefully we can get in that line too
and
do something with you because we'll be talking about that later. And these are the kind that you can put in the wash machine and or wash out in the sink and reuse, yeah. right?
That's correct. These are reusable. You can wash them and, you know, rewear them. And we do know that, you know, even the CDC has suggested that these that use some sort of a cloth facial covering. Mm-hmm. And that is another way to add a layer of protection between you and another person, whether you're out in public, whether mm-hmm. you're at the grocery, whether you're visiting friends and family. Of course, we also want to make sure that folks are using social distancing and mm-hmm. taking that into account, too, which is trying to stay 6 feet away from other people.
Now, Brian, as the mayor has been doing the updates and the staff from his office have been dispensing information to the public, have you guys had opportunity yet in this process to see some, I know you got the hot spots on and et cetera, but I noticed in the last, ever since this started, that there certainly has always been this 21 to 30 year olds that the numbers are pretty big on. What, is that a problem group for you all when you're doing your distributions and tests, et cetera?
It is, and we try to get that message out because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of folks in that age group, they may not think that this is going to cause me any real serious harm. Mm-hmm. I might have some minor symptoms or no symptoms at all. And what we want to make sure that they know is when you're going to your parents' house, your grandparents' house, other relatives that may be more at risk, those mm-hmm. who are over 65, others that may have underlying health conditions, that you're putting them at risk
right.
by you know, not protecting yourself and protecting them. So you're right. This is an age group where we have seen a large number mm-hmm. of positive cases, and I think a lot of them really should be taking it serious that mm-hmm. we don't want to. And if you look at literally out of the 90-plus deaths mm-hmm. that we've had in Davidson County, every single one of them have had some sort of underlying health condition, mm-hmm. and most of them have been over the age of 60 or 65.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the younger age group. They need to keep that in mind.
Definitely. And particularly if you're around family members and others. Now, Brian, do you have a minute or so you can give us some symptoms in case somebody's feeling funny and doesn't know what's going on with, and particularly with this asymptomatic situation? That one is really, for most people, the shocking one right there.
Yeah, and, you know, as it started out, you know, where there were, you know, some like flu-like symptoms. It was fever, a cough, feeling run down. And then as we learn more about the symptoms or types of symptoms, mm-hmm. it also included some unexplained sudden diarrhea
yeah.
is another sample example. And then another one is a sudden unexplained loss of smell. Mm-hmm. And so those are symptoms that people need to be paying particular attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there are some that are what we refer to as asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. They don't have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But in any of those, and if you feel like, you know what, I've been around somebody who said they thought they had
mm-hmm.
start talking about any of those symptoms and you have a concern, we have a hotline that you can call. It's a community hotline. We're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., mm-hmm. 7 days a week, and the number is 615-862-7777. You can call there and say, here's my concern, or we do have the three community assessment centers.
Mm-hmm.
One is the former Kmart on Murfreesboro Road. One of them is at the Nissan Stadium, and one is at Meharry. And so we're testing anybody who wants to come in and get tested. Hopefully that's getting going to be a very quick process,
mm-hmm.
as far as getting tested itself. And then it may take a few days to get those test results back.
A few days. Okay, that's good. So,
yeah, a few days.
And I know at first when the onset, it had to be appointments, et cetera, but is that still the case?
Absolutely not. You can drive up and any one of those assessment centers.
Uh-huh.
And again, they're open Monday through Friday. You know, they'll ask you a few questions and get you through the process. You know, last week, I think we hit something in the neighborhood of maybe, I don't know, the 5,000, 6,000, 7,000
mm-hmm.
mark. So we're testing pretty much anybody who wants to be tested now.
Now, and I didn't ask you this in advance, but I'm just curious. Does your office do testing when it comes to agencies like the sheriff's office and Metro Police and all that and fire?
That's a great question. We don't do testing at any one of our health centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you pointed that out because some folks show up here thinking they can get tested.
Right.
We do work with those first responders like police and fire,
mm-hmm.
And arrange for them to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, today, after finding some cases with the Davis County Sheriff's Office, just earlier this week, our staff was at one of their locations testing like 500
mm-hmm.
of the inmates and then also the staff there.
Mm.
So we do make arrangements for that, but again, none of the testing that we're talking about is done at any one of our health centers.
Okay. Now, how does that work, or do you know about the police department?
As far as testing goes?
Uh-huh.
Well, they themselves could go to any one of the testing centers as well.
Okay.
Anyone can, whether you're a Metro employee or,
okay.
or anyone.
Okay.
It's open to anybody.
Okay, excellent. And no appointments needed, you all, so don't worry about it. Just go. Because stuff has evolved and changed, and it doesn't take much for people to get confused. And so, Brian, can you... in the remaining moments, what are the steps with the tracing? Let's say, for example, somebody's test comes back and it's positive. What happens next?
Well, you know, the test gets run, and let's say it comes back as positive.
Mm.
And our contact tracers, when this first started, and back in early March, mm-hmm. we had four people who could do that disease investigation. And now we're up to about 125, and we're looking possibly expanding further. But those folks are really investigators. What they do is they take that positive test
mm-hmm.
and they contact that individual in a confidential way and ask them a range of questions. And what the reason for those questions are is to find out who they may have been in close contact with that we need to reach out to as well.
Right.
And so they ask, you know, when did you start feeling ill? Where do you work? Is it an open air environment or is it a closed office environment?
Mm-hmm.
Who have you gone to eat, let's say, lunch with or dinner with?
Mm-hmm.
Who are your household contacts? Who have you been in close contact with more than 10 minutes within 6 feet of each other over the past few days? And so we'll use that to determine who might they have been in close contact with.
Mm-hmm.
And when we reach out to those close contacts,
mm-hmm.
let them know, again, in a confidential way, that they've been at a place or a location or, you know, somewhere where they may very well have been in mm-hmm. close contact with a person with confirmed COVID. From there, we recommend they go and get tested. Hmm. And then they remain isolated, and then we check on them every mm-hmm. day.
Okay.
Check on their health to make sure they're doing okay. And that way we're able to continue to not only monitor and make sure the folks that are confirmed cases are doing okay,
right.
but also the close contacts.
Hmm. Okay, excellent. And lastly, so I was having a chat with someone recently that was concerned about actually getting a test. And are you all offering different types? And what are you seeing in the doctors there as the most accurate? I've heard, you know, several different kind. And this person was talking to me about trying to figure out which one is the best one to get, you know, for accuracy.
Right, and we only use one type of test, uh-huh. and it is the one that you've seen on TV where they're sticking this thing up a person's nose, and
yeah.
it goes back pretty far.
Yeah.
But that's the type of test that we run at all three of our community assessment centers. Mm-hmm. That's the one we've stayed with all along.
Mm-hmm.
We find it to be, you know, very accurate and something that we will continue to use. And one thing that we want to make sure we're thanking is just within the past month or so, the great folks at Meharry have taken over the testing of all three of our testing centers.
Mm.
And so I can't say goodbye without saying thank you to that dedicated group of folks.
That's
there.
That's right. Amen. And they are dedicated. There's absolutely no question about it. And again, just quickly, where will the free mask be given away and when?
We are offering those right now at our Lentz Folk Health Center, which we're at 2500 Charlotte Avenue. And that's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So those are the ones that if you want to come to the health department, that's an option. Of course, we're also, like we were talking about earlier, we're looking for opportunities to partner with community-based organizations where we can supply them the masks and they have events or, you know, special events that they could hand them out as well.
Oh, wonderful. All right, and contact number, website, and the whole nine.
The website, if you want to know everything about COVID, it is COVID19.nashville.gov. That has a lot of information, the latest information, and then the phone number, really, if you have a question
mm-hmm.
for our community assessment hotline, that's 615-862-7777, and it's open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
All right, Brian Todd, as I say in this office, on deck and on duty, man. I certainly do appreciate you, Public Information Officer for the Metro Health Department. Have a good rest of the day, Brian, and thank you for your time, okay?
Thank you, Sharon Kay.
Of course. All righty, you got your afternoon health information. Now, let's see, how do we make the grown people do it? That would be the question. How come on, grown folks? I mean, that's where the rubber hits the road. The children, they got it, but it's these mamas and daddies and these grandpappies and stuff. Y'all know it. Anyway, we're going to take a time out, get the traffic, and hear from Congressman Jim Cooper. Haven't talked to him in a minute because, you know, they've been, you know, ever since 2016. It's been one nonstop treadmill of craziness in Washington. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's quite busy out here, actually, but it's moving 65 back down into Brentwood, down through Williamson County, finishing up that wreck out West Nashville, 6500 block of Upton Lane, and Crossings Boulevard at Mountain View Road was the scene of an accident in South Nashville earlier that's trying to improve. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's WFSK Artist of the Week is trumpeter, arranger, and founding member of Earth, Wind, and Fire, Leslie Drayton. His latest release is entitled Changing Landscapes. Don't miss the WFSK Feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station.
Work, school, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, the gym, to the airport to pick up loved ones, to the kids' soccer games, piano lessons, out for movie night, to hear your favorite band in the city, over to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and on last year's amazing road trip. Your vehicle takes you so many places. Protect it. When you leave your vehicle, remember to always take your keys or key fob with you and lock the doors. If you suspect auto theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB, or visit our website at www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
It's What's the 411? Here again, Sharon Kay.
Happy to have the time today to be able to get on the busy schedule of Congressman Jim Cooper. Congressman Cooper, how are you doing?
Doing fine, Sharon. It's always good to talk to you.
I know, and it seems like it's been a long time because, you know, I know they got you guys held up, you know, just constant for the last 3 years. And it's just good to be able to catch you for a few moments and get an update on so many things. And I mean, there's so much has developed over these months and couple of years. I hope that you can, remain strong during all of this, because these issues are coming like machine gun fire. What kind of things do you have coming for votes in the next couple of weeks, and what will you be working on?
Well, thank you, Sharon. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I was supposed to be in Washington today, but I flew back for the funeral of one of the great Fiskites ever, Dr. Revis Mitchell.
Oh, yes.
And that service was just held at the beautiful, in fact, glorious Fisk Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a full play right now. This week we'll pass the Justice and Policing Act to finally bring some sanity to all of our police departments nationwide, to ban chokeholds, to stop these no-knock warrants, and to end the special privilege that officers have had in courtrooms, where even if the evidence is against them, oftentimes juries believe them anyway. So those are three key elements of the bill. But there are many other pieces of legislation. We've already voted on the largest relief package in American history for cities like Nashville and states like Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
The CARES Act was huge. That was $3.5 trillion.
Mm.
And then I supported the even larger HEROES Act, which is well over $5 trillion. So we're trying to help all the unemployed with the special federal benefit, with the individual stimulus check payment, which is huge, $1,200 per person with all the small business loans and things like that, because we want to make sure that everybody in America, every individual and the entire community survives this COVID plague and survives this terrible recession and all the unemployment.
Now, Congressman, is there any kind of follow-up? Because so many people say they haven't gotten anything yet and they can't get through and the government is operating remotely and you can't get a response. How are you all trying to aid the public in that?
Well, I cut through all the red tape by just giving people my personal cell phone number. Remember, I'm talking to you on right now, and I'll give it on your radio. I've done it on your show before.
Okay.
It's 615-714-1719. And I'll repeat it. It's 615-714-1719. Because that way you don't have to go through anybody.
Yeah.
And I have a very wonderful staff, and they are able to help solve many, many problems. And the biggest issue was so many people were not getting the extra $600 week check,
right,
the federal benefit on unemployment.
Yeah.
We've been able to solve literally thousands of those cases. So just call and we'll try to get it fixed up.
Now, how is that working, or have you heard about how it's working for the businesses back here? Because one of the things I keep hearing from various businesses of communities of color is that there are so many things in there to keep them, the small businesses, from qualifying. You know, for example, if you have an old felony from way back and you cleaned your life up and you don't have your record expunged yet, or you owe, you know, child support, whatever, they have come up with, to me, some things that seem systemic as far as let's keep a certain block of people out. They're saying it's not fair in the distribution. What can you tell us about us, about here?
Well, the Tennessee head of the small business office, who does most of the lending, is African-American.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is LaTanya Channel. She's outstanding. And she is a black woman, has really been working hard to make sure there's equity and fairness in the distribution of these loans. Now, the specific SBA loan is called the EIDL loan.
Mm-hmm.
So remember to ask for that. That's EIDL. That's essentially a working capital loan. But see, it can turn into a grant if you just keep your folks mainly on payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And so that grant opportunity is just fantastic. And even if it is a loan, it's like a near zero interest rate loan. Now, the other program has been more controversial because that's handed out through private banks.
Mm-hmm.
But there in the community, we've got Citizens Bank, but we also have 64 other banks in the Nashville community. And almost any one of those can do one of those PPP loans.
Mm-hmm.
We don't control the lending decision by that private bank,
mm-hmm.
but we have incentivized them to do as much as possible to help every single small business in our community.
Well, and that's another issue some of the small businesses have said. They don't have the big relationships because, you know, that's what a lot of business is done on. And they don't have those, and they don't have large accounts to, you know, be considered by a financial institution like a bank. Is there something written in there that allows...
Use my phone number to call me because I've had a couple of banks ask for referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to lend more in the minority community.
Mm.
If they don't lend enough in the minority community, then they can't engage in certain financial transactions because these laws are called anti-redlining laws. It's illegal to redline a neighborhood or district.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of the largest banks have actually been caught with their hand in the cookie jar before, like Wells Fargo.
Mm.
They've made an explicit national effort to try to do a good job on this and not serve their existing large customers, but only serve small customers. So there are a number of banks that have a particular interest in getting right with the federal government and getting right with God on this and getting the money out to the right people.
What kind of conversations, Congressman, have you had with folks on the other side in the Senate about this this bill by the Congressman, Tim, I can't think of his last name.
Tim Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, the
from
South Carolina.
Yeah, the Justice Act. It just seems kind of weak and watered down.
Yeah. You know that Tim is the only African-American Republican in the U.S. Senate and one of the few African-Americans in the Republican Party, period, in Washington. And I don't know his motivation. I'm assuming he's a fine person because he's from a tough state, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine a tougher state, but I wish he'd pursued the career path of my friend, Congressman Jim Clyburn, who's been a noted civil rights leader his entire life, who's come to Nashville many times to help. And fortunately, Jim Clyburn is healthier than our good friend John Lewis, who's really suffering from a tough bout of cancer right now in Atlanta. Yeah. But both Jim and John love Nashville and do all they can to help. But Tim Scott's bill, you're right, is watered down. The three key elements of our bill, the Justice and Policing Act, he leaves out. It's basically appointing a committee to look into it. And that's just red tape. His bill does not ban chokeholds.
Right.
His bill does not ban no-knock warrants. His bill does not end the immunity, the partial immunity that police officers have. So they can essentially be first-class citizens and everybody else be second-class. So those are three key elements that he could have put in his bill. But, you know, let's be honest, the Republican Party don't want those elements in the bill. They don't want that. So I think, you know, I haven't followed the action today, but the Democrats were going to oppose that in the Senate in favor of a stronger, real piece of legislation because let's pass something real, not something that's window dressing.
Well, do you anticipate whatever you all do, Mitch McConnell being the way he is, thumbs down, don't, you know, touch it, just let it die? Is it what you all are preparing for?
Well, Mitch, most of his life has acted like Darth Vader, but even he can count. And the wonderful thing about all these protests is we're at a change moment in history. It's kind of a hinge moment, and the door could be opening to real and fundamental change, and that's so exciting. Because he doesn't want to lose his own race. He's up for re-election in Kentucky. He's in trouble because personally he's a cold fish. Nobody likes him, but they put up with him because he's powerful. Well, that power could end in November. That would be awesome.
Yes, it would.
And other senators are in the same boat. One of the conservative senators today, Mike Braun, from way out west, he came around and said, hey, we got to end this special treatment for police officers because they're good people. They're hardworking, most of them, you know, except for the racists. And we've got to make sure that, you know, they're treated like everybody else because the rule in America is equality for all.
Right.
It's not special privileges for a few.
Well, and knowing that that's the case with people not even wanting to admit in the halls of Congress and across this country and business that there's no such thing as systemic racism, and we all know that can't possibly be true. So what have you and your office and others in Congress been doing to educate people that it is true?
Well, you know, it should be obvious, and I'm thankful for cell phone videos because that's done more to correct the terrible abuses. In fact, the torture and murder that's been conducted by some police departments. Like, is there a crime more despicable than the George Floyd murder? Because we all saw him on video tortured for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And it literally was a murder because it was deliberate. And police chiefs all over America called him out on that. You know, that was completely wrong. So that sort of behavior should be banned everywhere. It should have been banned for the last 200 years. But America is finally coming to its senses. This is kind of the completion of the civil rights movement. And then, you know, hopefully this will be done, and then we can move on more economic rights, because that's the real issue in so much of our community. If we had fair opportunities, there wouldn't be so many of the problems that we're seeing.
And I'm certain that you were amazed at how many days it has continued to be marches and protests, including right here in Nashville. And this state legislature is kind of like a carbon copy of Washington in that they seem to be like doing the marching orders. And in particular, so many in the community have had it with the statues honoring the Confederate war dead and generals. Have you, have any of your constituents asked you to weigh in on that subject?
Well, absolutely. And those Confederate statues, the Confederate flag, basically should be put in the dustbin of history, locked away in a museum somewhere so that we don't forget our past, but so we're reminded of the horrors of the past. But there's so many good people to honor. And to have Nathan Bedford Forrest up there in the Capitol, the Republicans refused to take him down. Even NASCAR now has banned the Confederate flag. Like, hallelujah. You know, the Marine Corps has done it. It's so long overdue because that's such a symbol for hate and division. And we need people to be unified, not split apart.
Well, and in saying that, Right here in Tennessee, we have Nathan Bedford Forest National Park, and that's federal. So isn't it time that you know, became somebody else? Because we, as a black woman who made the mistake of turning in there one day years ago, I was frightened to no end trying to turn that car out, around in the middle of the street, getting out of there.
Well, he was the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, so I'd be in favor of getting rid of that name. You know, we've got to make sure, though, that we don't just do a superficial cleansing.
Right.
It's one thing to take the names of the statues off and down. It's another thing to help people's hearts improve.
True.
And to learn the golden rule.
Yeah.
And to learn to love each other, because we're all God's children.
Yes.
Like, hello, let's wake up and appreciate this.
Absolutely.
It's a glory to be alive. It's nearly a miracle. We all need to love each other while we're alive and help each other thrive.
Yeah.
That's what life is all about.
Amen. Well, we have life. And speaking of that, I noticed that one of the hearings yesterday with Dr. Fauci and other officials with the CDC, and you know, it was good to hear from them as a group and speaking freely without being oppressed and not having to tell the truth. This is very concerning, knowing that from the top we're not hearing the truth about something that is a life and death situation, and 120,000 people close to it, you know, have already died, and I lost a relative, and I know many people out there have. But we still have this mixed messaging going on, coming from the White House and some of the CDC. We're trying, people on the front ends out here, on the grassroots, are trying their level best to, you know, educate and inform. But these messages that folks are getting is making them feel like they don't need to have social distancing, they don't need to wear a mask, they don't need to sanitize their hands, etc. What do you say about that, knowing that you have to go through what you go through just to travel back and forth?
Well, Trump is a fundamental problem, let's be honest, and I proudly voted for his impeachment.
Yeah.
I wish he would shut up on this stuff, because he is not only misleading people with false health information, a lot of people are going to die as a result.
Yes.
Now, we know that minorities die at a much higher level because COVID strikes them disproportionately.
Yeah.
We know that the elderly die at much higher levels. So this is a really tough disease. And let's not kid ourselves. The numbers are headed back up in America. They're the worst they've been since mid-April.
That's right.
So, and as states are opening up, like Tennessee, we got to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
I was proud at the Revis Mitchell funeral today. They practiced very strict social distancing because they had to.
Yeah.
You know, a number of folks there were up in years, and everybody was wearing a mask, and you know, it was just a properly done event, and every event needs to be like that until we get a vaccine or cure for this terrible plague.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what doesn't make any sense among the many things about that man is why is he trying to kill or repeal the Affordable Care Act? You know, he's trying to kill us with, you know, telling you a lie about the pandemic, and then, oh, by the way, I'm going to take your health care away. That's a really sad, sad message.
Well, it's not only sad, but dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I was proud to be one of Barack Obama's earliest presidential supporters. I was state chair of his campaign, a proud supporter of the Affordable Care Act. We've got to fully implement that act in Tennessee by extending Medicaid to all of our citizens. Mm-hmm. We're one of the only states left in America that's refused stubbornly to do that. It's totally wrong, because we're turning down a free $1 billion from the federal government that could keep our hospitals open and keep people healthy, especially during this time of plague. So we've made a little progress this year, because even Governor Lee couldn't deny more affordable health care to people who have COVID. But see, COVID is most dangerous for folks who have other diseases,
right?
And he's still refusing to cover those other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So I begged him to say, hey, if people have COVID and heart disease, or COVID and kidney disease, or COVID and cancer, let's help those folks too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's open this up like President Obama intended. But he's hard shell and won't do it. And the legislature really dominates him, because a lot of those folks really just don't care, even though we've already lost more hospitals in Tennessee than any other state in America per capita. We've lost 12, and it could be a much higher number than that.
Yeah. And lastly, because I know you're on a limited schedule today, as we'll be going to the polls here soon, And as voting is on the minds of people all over the nation, are you you see any foresee any problems or anything that we need to look out for as we prepare for one here in the Nashville area?
I'm so glad you asked this question, Sharon, because it's so important. The Republican strategy in these upcoming elections is voter suppression. They want to do everything they can to limit the vote. Mm-hmm. For example, just yesterday in Kentucky, guess how many precincts they had open for the entire city of Louisville, Kentucky?
It was probably just one.
One precinct.
Yeah.
One precinct. And, you know, that's the site of Breonna Taylor's murder.
Yeah.
That's the site of so many other senseless, mm-hmm. you know, incidents of violence there. And that's just wrong. That's suppression of the black vote. That's suppression of the people's vote.
Yes.
We got to make sure that doesn't happen in Tennessee. Our state, sadly, is fighting increased absentee balloting, mm-hmm. but literally anybody can apply for an absentee ballot today.
Hmm.
Under the court decision,
mm-hmm.
it used to be you only got a free pass if you're over 60. But our local chancellor, Ellen Hobbs Lyle, has mm-hmm. ruled that fear of COVID is a legitimate reason to get an absentee ballot. So mm-hmm. already 12,000 applications have been filed mm-hmm. in Davidson County for absentee ballots.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go ahead and vote today completely safely in the comfort of your own home by requesting an absentee ballot. Now, the state has appealed this decision. But I think it's going to stand throughout the August election because it's kind of too late to change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they will go back to their old tricks for the November election.
Right.
And that's, of course, the presidential one, and we've got to make sure that everybody votes in that.
Definitely, definitely, please. And I'm hoping that sometime, you know, before then, I'll get a chance to circle back around with you. I know you're...
absolutely, I'd love that.
Yeah, you're on the treadmill and, you know, on the battlefield there. And I was glad to steal a couple minutes of your time. Congressman Cooper, your office here in Nashville is closed, and for folks that have constituent issues, what's the best way to get those in?
Well, the office telephone number is 736-5295. Mm-hmm. That's area code 615-736-5295. You will be directed to someone knowledgeable and informed. But remember, my personal cell phone, I'll give that out, 615-714-1719.
Well, that works because, you know, so I've got it right here.
Okay.
Good
deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Congressman, thank you,
Sharon,
so much for your time. And
appreciate it.
You have a good rest of the day.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy here on the South Loop, the West Loop, wrapping up that crash there in West Nashville, 6500 block of Upton Lane. Traffic still moving right along on 24 through that construction zone, especially eastbound as you head out towards Murfreesboro there on 24 passing Bell Road. This traffic report is brought to you by Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River, that website, adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7, I'll have your news headlines and issues of the day. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll talk with award-winning gospel music recording artist and public speaker and surgeon, Dr. Mark Williams. He's author of a new book entitled When a Man Worships.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
It's What's the 411? Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in it. The house. In it, the building, the house, in the chair, studio. I'm in it. Anyway, thank you to Congressman Cooper for that updated information. And you remember when President Obama X was president and, at least we forget.
Things were just,
We had our brains back.
Yeah, we slept well.
Oh, yes, we did. And I used to, it wasn't as hectic for Congressman.
Yeah.
I used to be able to call him all the time and get updates and things. But ever since?
Ever since 2016.
Oh, God. And the nonstop insanity never ends.
Yeah.
It just never ends. Yeah. And so we'll get him back again soon and get some more information from him and perspective and everything. And so many people, I think, probably watched online. Congressman came to town for Dr. Mitchell's homegoing, and I know that they streamed it on the university. You said the Jubilee Singer page or the Chapel page?
This Chapel page.
Chapel page, mm-hmm. Okay. Probably be up there for people that want to go back and look at it. And truly, he was a tower, a strong tower in education and in history, and highly, highly respected. So, next Black History Month, have some of your kids write about him, okay? Because he's the one that used to go out and do all the presentations and work with the history museums and all the stuff. And, not just here, but all over the world. So, we're just really just heartbroken, everyone is. That's how you feel when, a strong tower is gone.
For sure.
It's that feeling, So we continue to keep his family lifted, and his co-faculty has been part of the Fisk family for 40 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And alum. I could spell off this history like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he could just give it to you, Jack, from 1866 to the present. And he just, unbelievable. Anyway, so he's resting now in the Lord. Next hour is the new book entitled Subtle Acts of Exclusion, How to Understand, Identify, and Stop Microaggressions. The co-author is Dr. Tiffany Janna. She also is author of a couple other books in this topic realm, Overcoming Bias and Erasing Institutional Bias, the thing that people keep saying doesn't exist. Yeah. Psych. Oh, it does. There's no such thing as systemic racism. That y'all are just tripping. You're making it up. Mm-hmm. And let's make a black man say it. Senator, what's his name? Scott.
Tim Scott.
Yeah, say it. Yeah. How many times do you stop? 7. Oh, no. I guess his driving must have been horrible.
Yeah.
Not because he looked the way he looked.
Yeah.
Or any of that, and he was in the South. You know, not at all.
Had nothing to do with it.
No, no. He must have couldn't turn his turn signal on fast enough.
That happens to everybody.
Yeah. Or he didn't brake at the light quick enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he didn't yield. Or he hit the brakes too hard and somebody else had to hit theirs.
Yeah.
Those things really do happen. That, so there's no such a thing that the people say. And it makes it worse when you send a black man out there to say it. He knows he's lying.
Yeah.
And I was like, is the lightning bolt getting ready to come now? Because he's like, man, please. And, you know, I realize that that's his job and his role. But really. And that, you know, to stand up in front of the microphone in Congress and all. And in the before the press conference and make that statement like that was embarrassing. Now, here's something I'm kind of watching because I knew the day was coming. And I'm going to have somebody on this topic. In today's headlines, a black man who says he was unjustly arrested because facial recognition technology mistakenly identified him as a suspect shoplifter. And he is calling for a public apology from the Detroit police and the department to abandon its use of the controversial technology. The complaint by Robert Williams is a rare challenge from someone who not only experienced an erroneous face recognition hit, but was able to discover that it was responsible for his subsequent troubles. Oh, you know, no, we...
He deserves an apology.
You look just like all the other black guys. Williams says his Michigan driver's license photo was incorrectly flagged as a likely match to a shoplifting suspect captured on a Shinola Watch store's surveillance camera. Michigan's top prosecutor apologized today for her office taking up the case. And let's see. Those things, but see, here's the issue. Those machines can't read black faces.
They can't?
Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless you put something white over the face.
Oh.
So the technology is flawed.
Okay.
Right. Which is why I'm going to have somebody on about this.
Yeah, they can't see us.
No. Even though everybody else has no problem.
Yeah.
It's only, must be only recognizing white people. And, you know, let's ask the designer. I'd like to know, well, what were you thinking? That we all are just one color? Have you been out the house lately?
I know.
I mean, seriously. But that is, and you know, they want to put it in the airports and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the next thing you know, and then, you know, in the stores and shops and places around. So this facial recognition issue is about to be the next big one where there is a problem in technology. People believe it before they do the human beings. And this man, he had to explain this to his child. And that's a crying shame, you know, to carry him through that. And based on something that is not even able to recognize other cultures.
That's crazy.
It is. So that's something else now we got to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're traveling somewhere, you could be innocently traveling or innocently shopping. And the next thing you know, they're going to swoop you up and arrest you because these surveillance said that you match whoever the person is that they're looking for, even though it's not you. That's that, you know, that one right there. So mm-hmm. I'll be doing some follow-up on that one because I think they were thinking about doing that here in the airport here, you know, doing that type of thing. So we think we got issues now. Can't even leave the house, Jesus. Oh, we need you, Lord. The 60s civil rights movement voices, the icons.
Yeah.
Like Bob Moses, he says America is at a lurching moment for racial change potentially as transforming as the Civil War era and the 1960s civil rights movement that he helped to lead. The Reverend Jesse Jackson sees a kind of a perfect storm for protests and change. Andrew Young says he sees a new consensus emerging. They were among those who were jailed, who risked jail time, rather, assaults and even assassinations in the 1960s battle against racial segregation and for voting rights in the South. And yes, that is the facts. There is something. And in not just United States or regional, it's global. This is a global reverberation for civil rights around the world.
If we could just get the Pope to come out and say something on behalf of the Catholic Church.
Well, we can pray, right?
Yes.
Hello, Jesus.
That would carry
so
much
more
weight.
Well, maybe one day he will.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it could happen. Well, what about Joyce Meyer? Speaking of the Pope, I mean, you know, they're not equal, but she's got a huge mask following too.
But, you know, the Catholic Church is sort of got this ball rolling.
The TBN, how about them saying it? You know, that. So you think so?
Yeah. They said if you're going to use anybody for slaves, use these black folk.
Well, but that's, you know, global. I'm talking about globally.
Yeah, that's global. That would do a lot to heal the planet.
You think?
Yeah.
How would
because most people don't know that the Catholic Church actually...
It's been instrumental.
Yeah,
because they've been around since the beginning.
Yeah, they sanctioned and made it okay.
Yes.
For slavery in terms of a morality. So that would just carry a whole lot of weight.
And that was before the United States was founded.
Yeah.
So... there, you know, so it would have to be him and the rest of them.
Yeah.
He says it, but then they have to implement it. Mm-hmm. The other bishops and the other people. Who else you think should say it?
I think
the evangelicals.
That'll right. We're better off looking to the Pope.
I'm looking toward the heels.
Looking towards
from whence
the Pope.
Cometh my help?
They're
my
not,
help
they're not
cometh
going
from the
to,
Lord.
And they're suffering for it right now.
Well.
Yeah, they are. They are, you know. Just keep packing those churches like y'all are with
oh, like they did yesterday.
Like they did yesterday. Keep it up.
You know, the thing about yesterday is we go to the top of the hour. Those kids are now, they now have a stack of lies packed in their heads.
Yeah.
And I am like...
He just stood there lying to him.
Every statement was an absolute lie.
Yeah, that's where we are.
And I said... "And you
in a church.
And I'm waiting. I didn't see the ceiling come open and the bolt to come.
And they're just standing there cheering.
And they don't know the difference because he's grown.
Yeah.
And he's in the position he's in. And they will fight to the tooth and nail believing it.
I think most of them know it.
I don't know it.
I think half of them know
they
it.
They was asking for him to say the blank flu.
Yeah. Now, how Christian is that?
Well.
Where's the leadership there?
Is it?
I kept thinking, if you're the pastor of that church, you let this man stand up there and say that stuff?
Uh-huh. He did. He was happy he came.
Wow.
They bought a new ventilation system.
Wow.
Because he was coming.
Mm-hmm. So where's the TBN guy now? What's his name? The guy who sits there? Pat?
Robertson.
Robertson. Where is he at? Where are they at? Where
they're
is,
not. I mean.
Just nothing. Just sit there. He can just.
Mm-hmm. No. They, you know. The Roxton already cried out.
Wow.
You know, we've seen all these deaths and mayhem and, you know, the modern day lynching, George Floyd and others, and they're not.
No love thy neighbor in that.
You know, well, that means you'd have to open a book and read it now, wouldn't it be? So if you hadn't read it.
Yeah. Hadn't lived it either.
Right. Well, those two things do go together. Anyway, the news with Ron is next, and we're coming back on the other side. I got to get the... weather. Hadn't rained yet, has it? No. Got to get the weather, and then Dr. Tiffany Janna discusses her new book she co-authored, Subtle Acts of Exclusion.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.